Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, covers the LSU Fighting Tiger football team for The Advocate, Wilson Alexander. Wilson, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. How you doing?
Good, good. Wilson, for me, the big question mark, we talked to a little bit about it while we were talking about LSU's Pro Day with B.J. Ojulari. Right now, and I think there may be a freshman involved here, I think that's the biggest spot for me. If you were looking at one player that was going to be really difficult to replace, it's BJ. Now, it's question marks in the secondary, especially at corner, but because you don't know. But, man, I really don't know who's going to feel those moccasins of BJ Ojulari.
BJ brought so much to LSU, not only as what he did on the field, but as a leader in the locker room wearing number 18. And that in itself is something that LSU has to replace as well, as just the presence that he had as a leader. But on the field, certainly, he did so much. We saw him, you know, be moved around in that jack linebacker position, able to rush the passer, drop back a little bit, but, you know, certainly more so somebody who played up near the line of scrimmage and could really cause some havoc. I mean, second on the team in both sacks and quarterback hurries behind Harold Perkins, and he's going to be a tough person to replace. LSU's got a couple options to do that. Ovia Gofu, the Texas transfer, who's also started his career at Notre Dame with Brian Kelly. Braden Swinson, an Oregon transfer. And then I think the freshman who you would be alluding to was probably Deshaun Womack. Now, Deshaun's
that's the guy,
because he's not necessarily a straight jack linebacker.
Right.
I asked Brian Kelly about this recently. He's more of a hybrid between a jack linebacker and a defensive end, especially because he's up over 270 pounds now.
Whew.
So, you know, he's not necessarily somebody who would drop into coverage. He could play with his hand in the dirt. He could play out of a two-point stance. He can be a really sort of interesting piece in terms of how Matt House uses him because of the way that he's developing right now. Of course, he's not practicing because of a shoulder injury. You know, he had off-season surgery on his labrum, but he's still somebody else you have circled as a potential early contributor. Right now, though, the leader for that jack linebacker spot would probably have to be Ovi Ogofu. Brian Kelly's spoken highly of him thus far.
And he's got familiarity with Ovi.
Exactly. You know, Ovi originally signed with Notre Dame, yep. And then he transferred to Texas where he spent 2 years, and he was productive at Texas. The numbers are suddenly escaping me off the top of my head. You know, he's not like a B.J. Ojulari kind of guy. It's doubtful that he would turn into somebody who's, you know, borderline first-round, early second-round draft pick kind of player. He's not as big as B.J. and that kind of thing, but he was productive enough at Texas to be able to maybe fill in. And because of LSU, with what they've got coming back right now, like with Mason Smith once he's healthy and with Harold going into year two and some of the other defensive linemen who they have, they might not actually need as much from that jack linebacker spot. It's still an important position, of course, don't get me wrong, but you don't need necessarily Ovi Ogofu to be like the full-on leader and statistical, you know, most productive player on your defense like you maybe needed out of B.J. Ojulari last season.
Now, Wilson, speaking of the D-line, what is your take, and what do you think mindset of Coach Kelly Jamar Cain going with Sean Payton to the Denver Broncos? Because I think that could be a significant loss, considering when you look at recruiting and how the players are trusting him. What do you think is going to happen? What's your take on that when that all went down?
This was something that came together over the last few weeks. You know, I mean, coaches have certainly, you know, interviewed during the offseason for things, but, you know, Jamar was here for the start of camp. And then, as I understand it, kind of over spring break, this opportunity with the Broncos kind of began to materialize. And then, of course, got finalized there. I sort of, you know, and by the time they got to practice on Saturday, you know, he was able to tell the players before practice that he was leaving and that was his last day. For him, it's, you know, a chance to go to the NFL, which is somewhere he's wanted to be, you know, and eventually get to work with Vance Joseph, he's known, their defensive coordinator over there in Denver. Nick Bonita, who he coached at Oklahoma, is on the Broncos, and he gets to reunite with him as well, and kind of go back over closer to the West Coast. And he's a self-proclaimed West Coast guy. But it does leave LSU now without a full-time defensive line coach five practices into the spring. You know, they'll hit the field again tomorrow. And Gerald Chapman, who's an analyst who was Colorado's defensive line coach last season, previously with LSU in 2021 as an analyst, he's expected to be the one who kind of oversees the defensive tackles and defensive ends for now, while LSU looks for a different defensive line coach. And I think you mentioned recruiting. That's certainly a priority with whoever comes in as its next hire, because defensive tackle is a position that LSU has to address in this next class. Right now, things look good for the 2023 season. But past that, there's some question marks about, you know, just LSU doesn't have like a clear cut, you know, who's next on the roster. And they're going to have to address that in recruiting.
Now, you know, Wilson, what is your take? Obviously, being around LSU football, and I was talking with Mike about this, that when you talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse, Kayshon Boutte, Boutte, however you say it, but Kayshon, what? He was going to be like top 10 pick, first round. Now it looks like maybe third, probably could be a fourth round pick.
Now he might be a middle round pick.
But, right. I mean, but what's your take on that, Wilson, and how he's fallen?
It's been so peculiar, but purely as a player, you know, he just hasn't looked the same really last season after coming off of the ankle injury.
I agree with you. 100%, Wilson.
Right at the start of preseason camp last year, I asked Kayshon if it was still bothering him in any way, if he was still having to get used to something. You know, when you come off that injury, usually there's a little bit of a reacclimation kind of period where you're learning to trust yourself cutting again. And he's admitted that was still the case. There were still some moments here and there where he was kind of getting used to it. And he brushed it off later in the season as it being an issue, but then kind of said the combine that it was. But you could just tell watching that, yeah, he was just wasn't quite the same player last season. And, you know, maybe as he gets back into the NFL, you know, further away from the injury, just in terms of time, maybe he can get back into that kind of form. But he hasn't shown it yet really during the pre-draft process in terms of his testing numbers. They were not very good at the combine. He didn't do much today at pro day. Did the three cone drill, but his time would have been the second to last among receivers at the combine, and that was 7.08 seconds. He looked okay in his on field workout, though. You know, I mean, just really, you know, football stuff. You know, catching the ball away from his body. I didn't count any drops from a catchable ball, and it looked crisp as a route runner. So it's just peculiar. It really can probably be traced back to that injury against Kentucky that, you know, of course, had to have two surgeries on that right ankle last year to address it, and just has not quite been the same player since then.
Wilson, to stay on that area, losing Jeray Jenkins and Kayshon deciding not to come back, how does that wide receiver group look? Now, I know one thing. Malik Nabers got him a spot because you can tell Jaden Daniels trusted him and knew he was – even sometimes when he was covered, he was open. Well, Malik would come up with the catch. What does that look like? Because that has always, over the last 5 or 6 years, has been such a great strength for LSU at wideout.
And to elaborate on what Mike's saying, Wilson, all I know is, you know, what have you done for me lately? To me, he emerges the top receiver, what he did in the Citrus Bowl, 163-yard receiving. He had a touchdown. He catches ball in traffic, you know, body control. You look at all that. But, I mean, what have you done for me lately? Malik Nabers, how can he not be the number one receiver for Daniels?
Brian Kelly said as much after the Citrus Bowl, that it's Malik Nabers' time now to be the next number one, to carry that mantle as LSU's next top wide receiver. And he is going to be the number one target in this offense and one of the top offensive weapons. That's undisputed. And it's come directly from the head coach at this point. So there's really no question about it. He is their number one wide out, and a lot is going to be expected of him in this junior year to kind of help carry this offense, especially in the passing game. And, you know, maybe in that Citrus Bowl, kind of seeing him on that end around and take it 75 yards, maybe that's even a glimpse of more to come, instead of sort of using him in a lot of different ways to highlight what he can do so well. Because as we talked about before, you know, he catches the ball well. He's pretty fast. He's great in space. He gets making, you know, catches in traffic, et cetera, et cetera. And all around him is kind of where the questions start to emerge and the intrigue for how this is going to shake out in terms of the receiver rotation. Because past him, you don't have somebody who's necessarily proven as a frontline SEC receiver. Brian Thomas is certainly a chance to do that, but, you know, he just hasn't quite taken that step into the upper echelon of somebody like Malik. Aaron Anderson, they're really high on if he can return to what he did in high school at Edna Carr, but, you know, he's not going to be able to get back out there until preseason camp.
So why did he transfer? Because you think like
he wasn't playing.
No, you had Alabama, and so he transferred because he wasn't playing. Because you were thinking like, well, why would you want to leave Alabama? Well, as an LSU fan, like, well, if he's not going to be a stud for Alabama, why does he think he's going to be a stud for us? I mean,
you have to remember, Aaron Anderson was committed to LSU for a long time coming out of New Orleans before the coaching change. Yeah. And when Orgeron left and he reopened his recruitment, he ended up signing with Alabama. This LSU staff wasn't able to kind of get in there and keep him on board in the 2022 class before he went to Alabama. So then, you know, he spent a year over there. But it's sort of, I think that's the reason why, you know, he came back, is that this was originally where he wanted to go. He's a Louisiana guy from New Orleans and would like to be playing at LSU. And so it worked out that he was able to come on back to the transfer portal.
Wilson, I think one of the spots for me, and I always look at it for any team, is at center. They're really the time clock for your football team. And that's been a spot for LSU. I get it, there's some injuries there, but what does it look like in spring because of Turner? He's never going to be a big man at the center position. I think he's solid, but he's never going to be that big guy. And I think that's what Brian Kelly wants, a big center. Martinez has spent some time there. They got a transfer guy. Your thoughts on the center position, because I think you could put Dellinger in that spot where Bradford left, and you'd be fine. You don't have much depth, and that's where some of these freshmen might come into play. And also, too, with Bo Bordelon, is he working at the center position?
Yeah, because let me tell you right now, people think like, you know, you plug and play to center. Now, and I think LSU, I know they are, they're like, it's like the NFL. A center position, you're playing the center position, you're like the quarterback of the offensive line. Yeah. How you got to make calls and all that. So a lot of times when you just want to throw a freshman out there, they swimming. They worried about what they have to do. They're not going to understand the whole concept of the offensive scheme, what the offensive line is supposed to do. But I think that's a great question what Mike brought up, Wilson.
Right now, Charles Turner is out, like you mentioned. But when he comes back, don't just assume that this isn't going to be his job because of his size. LSU really likes the intangibles with him, the communication and his toughness and just sort of mindset that he brings to that center position, maybe because he's been doubted because of his size. That seems to really motivate him. And, you know, they were pleased with how he played last year, but this is a position where they want to have some competition, clearly, because Marlon Martinez, with Charles out, he's getting a lot of, they've been pursuing, you know, center transfers in the portal. And now Marlon Martinez is getting a really close look during the spring as kind of the first team center with Charles out. And he's got the size that Charles doesn't have. Right. And so that will probably be a competition when they get back. Mason Lunsford, who you mentioned, you know, over from Maryland, he hasn't been a center during his career, much more of a guard. And told me he had never really played center. But if Brad Davis, who loves to cross-train, wants to cross-train him there, he's open to it. We'll have to see once he gets on campus what they do there. And then, yeah, Bo Bordelon has been getting center reps for the first time in his career, learning how to play that position, maybe as a backup option. And, you know, right now during the spring, because LSU has so few linemen, it's a great opportunity just for him to try it out. And so he's kind of their second-team center right now and learning that position. And it's interesting you mentioned Dellinger because he's actually still getting some center reps. You know, kind of another thing where it's like in the spring, you might as well try it out and all that kind of thing.
Everybody, you tried it last year. It didn't quite work.
Yeah. But he was at practice the other day getting some like kind of third-team snaps. Just, I mean, also, again, it's partially a product of just LSU does not have a lot of offensive linemen right now, and it's the spring. So why not just, you know, kind of tinker and that kind of thing right now. But, you know, he'll probably still end up just settling in at guard. But maybe it's a situation where in case of emergency, if we have to move someone over there, you know, make sure that he could still kind of handle it if necessary. But, you know, yeah, he slides in back into the lineup logically, you would think, at guard, especially with Anthony Bradford off to the NFL as that fifth lineman. And gives LSU a returning five that they really like.
Now, it's not quite as important, but you got nothing but a bunch of freshman depth at tight end. That's another spot, because I know Brian wants to use two tight ends. It's what was used when he was at Cincinnati. He did it at Notre Dame. He likes to use multiple tight ends. Well, last year you really couldn't. Mason was what you had. Kind of how you think that'll work out, because now, again, you're going to have to most likely trust a freshman if you're going to go to a two tight end set.
Yeah, well, what about this Pimpton cat? I don't know, Pimpton. I'm like Wally Pip or whatever, like Pimpton. I'm looking at, we know Mason Taylor, but all of a sudden I'm reading a few things about this Pimpton guy.
Well, not everybody's Mason Taylor as a freshman. Yeah,
I think we won't know until the summer, right? Yeah. Wilson, about Pimpton and what he can bring to the table?
Pimpton won't be, he won't be here until the summer. He was not an early enrollee. Brian Kelly, though, said just from watching the tape on him that he's probably one of the most athletically gifted, albeit raw, receiving tight ends that he's seen. Pimpton's 6'6". He's got an extremely wide catch radius and could bring a lot early as a receiving tight end. But as Brian Kelly has mentioned multiple times now, what they want in a tight end is somebody who has a little bit more well-rounded kind of skill set and can play on the inline and be a blocker. And Pimpton's going to have to prove that he can do that part of it as well to get on the field pretty early. In the meantime, with Mason Taylor out for the spring after having a shoulder sort of cleanup surgery, it's the two freshmen, Mac Markway and Jackson McGohan, who are getting a ton of work at receiver. There's also tight end. Some walk-ons are also in the mix there. But those two being scholarship guys are getting a really close look. I'll tell you, Markway, he's 6'4", 242 pounds. He hasn't played a lot of high school football because of the coronavirus pandemic, and then he had an ACL injury, and then his senior year, LSU just advised him to sit out and train. Well, because he was training, and he's in an NFL family that has a bunch of tight ends in it, he is built like a college player already.
Sure. He looks
like people us today at Pro Day, and he looks physically like ready to be able to maybe handle it as a blocker or something like that. Now, all this needs time to kind of shake out and really for Dimbrock to kind of evaluate them. And this is also a position where, keep in mind, LSU could look in the transfer portal, but that's going to be tricky because they need a guy who's really only here for like a year. And to find someone who would mesh well enough and want to come for a single season and maybe not be the starter who really fits everything that they would want and, you know, be the right fit on both sides might be difficult. But it is a position where they will probably look in the transfer portal in May just to see what's out there.
Now, Wilson, you're talking about Pro Day. Obviously, you've been to a number of these. What impressed you today? All I know is, you know, just face value. You look at a player, I think helped his cause, like Converse. I mean, all of a sudden, looking at his 40, my understanding, when he ran a 4.4, and then looking at his vertical. I mean, who caught your eye on LSU's Pro Day that maybe could have helped his draft stock? Is it Converse, or who was maybe other player that caught your attention?
It was absolutely Jacques Bernard Converse. This was somebody who's a five-year starter.
Yeah, 5 years.
Going back to he started 9 games as a freshman at Oklahoma State. He's started like over 50 games in his career. I think 60 games in his career over those two schools, and yet and was productive and has, you know, he's about 6'1", 195 pounds or so, smooth corner, and wasn't invited to the combine. And so, you know, he put a lot into this pro day, and he really gave himself a chance to get drafted based off his experience in production and also just the way he tested, you know, proved, backed up that he is an athletic corner. How far he projects to the next level, I'm not sure. But, yeah, he ran a 4.4 40, which was his goal. He jumped 42 inches, which would have been tied for the highest amongst corners of the combine and the third highest amongst every position. And it would have actually been overall testing-wise among the top five corners at the combine. And so he did himself a lot of good today with the way he performed. And Jarek's not going to really talk himself up. He's not super boastful and not really a trash talker guy, but you could tell that he was proud of what he did today.
He's built like the port. And then you see that guy, you say, man, that guy plays corner. That's how I want a cornerback to look. And, man, he's got a lot of athletic ability. I think a little rough around the edges technically, but I think he can get better in that field. Wilson, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Always love to have you on, giving your insights.
Thanks, Wilson.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great night.
All righty. Wilson Alexander does a great job covering the LSU Fighting Tiger football team for The Advocate. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.